Good morning, church. Yeah, it's a totally different view from front here because I'm so used to sitting at the back. So, yeah, good morning to you guys. My name's Richie. And I hope your 2019 has been going all right. And I just can't believe it that the first month of the year, Jan 2019, is just about over. Don't know about you, but... And I would like to thank Howard and the rest of the elders for giving me the opportunity to speak this morning about this topic on praise. It's and it's from Psalms 103, and Nevin kicked it off 2 weeks back, Jason last week, and I'm just going to finish off the rest of Psalms 103. And before I get into it, I would like to just, since topics on praise, just want to share a little joke with you, yeah? Okay. So once upon a time, there was this religious Christian woman, and she woke up every morning, would open her front door, stand on the porch and say, "Praise the Lord." And this really angered her atheist neighbor. Okay, so he got pissed. Who would always make sure to yell out through his door, "There is no God." So the atheist was angry, obviously. And one morning, the atheist neighbor overheard his Christian neighbor praying for food. Okay? And thinking it would be funny, this is what the atheist did. He bought all her groceries and left them on her porch. So the next morning, the lady woke up, she went to the porch and she said, "Praise the Lord who gave me this food." Okay? Then the neighbor, laughing so hard, he could barely get the words out, screamed, "It wasn't the Lord, it was me." So the Christian lady, without missing a beat, said, "Praise the Lord for not only giving me food, but making the atheist pay for it." So God is good, church. God is good. God is good. So, as mentioned earlier, we're going to be covering Psalms 103, and the topic for today is, if God is sovereign, what then? And the answer to this, if you could turn with me, church, to Psalms 103. Yep, Psalms 103, and we'll pick it up from verse 19. It says this, "The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul." So church, the answer is quite simple. The question was, if God is sovereign, what then? It's simple. All creation are to praise God. That is what all creation is called to do. And praise, coming to praise, it's what we offer in acknowledgement of God's excellent being. It's who God is. I mean, as you know, God is sovereign, almighty, omnipotent, all-powerful, omnipresent, everywhere at the same time, omniscient, he knows everything. God is great and we are nothing. Although the world might think human beings are great and stuff, but compared to God, let's get it clear, church, that we are nothing compared to the great God. I mean, talk to an atheist, you get a whole different viewpoint, but that's a different topic. Yeah. So, and what you give thanks to God, it's more thanksgiving, church. That's what you give thanks to God, is thanksgiving. But praise is actually offered for who God is. Who He is. So there's a bit of a difference there. Thanksgiving is for what God has done in your life. And praise is to who God is. Psalms 18:3 says this, I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise. And there's so many other verses in the book of Psalms where it talks about praising God. Okay, what about the ways of praising God? How do you praise God? Okay, common form of praising God is when we come together as a church, one body, and we sing our praises to God. That's a common form of praise. And it can be done at home, anytime. You can put on some Christian music and praise the Lord. That's one way. In your time of prayer, you can praise God. In your time of prayer, praise the Lord. Before you go into, I don't know, a lot of people have this list of 10, 20 items. God, I want this, I want this, I want this. Praise the Lord. And then, people might have a list of prayers to go through. Or you can even praise the Lord without even opening your mouth, in your thoughts. In your thoughts. That's a form of praising God. You can ask my wife. I mean, I dread this lawn mowing, you know. I mean, I'm one of those guys that when it comes to lawn mowing, I dread lawn mowing. But recently, I've actually started praising the Lord while mowing the lawns. I mean, it's noisy. It's noisy. So I don't utter anything, but it's just in my thoughts. And it has actually changed the way it's transformed the whole experience. Let's put it this way. I mean, that 1-2 hours that I used to dread has turned out to be quality time, actually, spent with the Lord. It's noisy with lawn mowing, but through my thoughts, I'm praising the Lord and having conversations with Him just in your thoughts. So that's a way. I mean, that's a form of praising the Lord. And of course, some people dance and sing, and there's so many ways of giving praise to God. So it's not just one way. There's multiple ways of praising the Lord for who He is, church. Okay, moving on. As we read earlier, all creation are to praise the Almighty God. So all Christians, believers, are to praise the Lord. And Isaiah 43:21 says this, this people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise. So that's what we were created for, church, to declare His praise. And in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews 13:15 says this, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. So, this is being emphasized again in the New Testament. Praising God is an essential part of our daily Christian walk. Okay, next point is really important, church. Praise, it has to originate in a heart full of love toward God. It has to originate from there, a heart of love towards God. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. We are called, church, to love the Lord with all your heart. That's a fundamental principle of being a Christian, to love the Lord with all your heart. And why do we love God? Because He first loved us. He first loved us. And you know, church, when it comes to a time of praising God, if there is no love, it's hollow. It's just empty. It's just empty stuff. If there's no love for God in your praise, you could be just singing songs and whatnot, but it all starts in here. If there's none of that love in your heart towards God, it's a futile effort. You're just trying to, I don't know, trying to fool yourself, basically. If it's not from here, a love towards God. So, church, love born from a relationship with God through Jesus Christ is an essential part of your praise. Keep that in mind. It is really important that it all originates with a heart full of love for God. Now, I mean, I touch based on the topic of one form of praise is when we get together in church on a Sunday and we praise the Lord. Okay? And in my time, I mean, observing people in different churches, not only here, but in different churches I've been to, I would generally classify, there are three types, I would think, in my classification. One, I would say they are really ignorant of the fact that when it comes to a time of praise and worship, they think it's like a spectator sport. It's just for me to watch, enjoy, and listen. And I hope it's out of ignorance that these Christians, they turn up and think this is just a time of, let's just watch the team up here play the songs, sing, and listen, and have a good time. That's the first category, I would think. And I hope it's out of ignorance and nothing else. Then, there's the second category. People who, their heart's not in it. Their lips may be saying the words that's up there, but their heart's not in it. Their hearts are far away from focusing on God. It's a heart and mind thing. The heart's not in it, and your mind is being distracted with something else. It could be the problem at work, problem at home, or whatnot, your health and whatnot. It could be that. And that really takes away your proper praise for the Lord. And these kind of guys, these people, this type of people are mentioned by Jesus in Matthew 15, verses 8 to 9. Jesus was talking about the hypocrites, in this case, the Sadducees. Jesus said this, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." So church, don't be that person. Don't be that guy who comes in here, lips moving to the words, but heart not in it, and the mind is totally distracted with other stuff. You know what we're called to be, church? The ones who come here on a Sunday, when we do our corporate praise to the Lord, your heart's got to be in it, and your mind too. Because I've been there where when you get distracted with things, when you're trying to praise the Lord, you know that, I know that I wasted my time because, there was nothing. There was nothing because my heart and my mind was distracted with something, and probably my heart was not in it that day. I've been there. And I know exactly, if your heart and your mind is not 100% to the Lord in your time of, say, when you have your corporate worship, or even your personal worship, you got to give everything. God wants everything. Not 80%, not 90%, everything, 100% of you. in your time of praise to the Lord. So let us be that people. Come in here, lay all your problems at the feet of Jesus and praise Him. And from personal experience, I'm reminded about the greatness of God when I do that. Sometimes when I leave the church, I'm reminded of how big and how great God is. God is magnified, where I feel that I'm more than a conqueror, where all my problems are nothing. It gives you a clear perspective on things. Because we as human beings, it's quite a natural tendency to, magnify your problems. You know, think that, oh, my problem is greater than your problem, and you don't understand, brother or sister, that what I'm going through and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, praise actually helps you or reminds you that God is big and He is great and mighty and magnifies God, and your problem actually is really tiny. So praise can do that, church. Praising God. So let us be that people, church, where we come, put everything aside and lay it at the feet of Jesus, and put our minds and our hearts fully into God. We celebrated Christmas recently, right? About a month ago. And my son, he's about 4.5 years old, and Christmas comes and he's gone into the Santa mode, where, oh, is Santa going to give me gifts this year and all that? So, one day he comes and asks me, he calls me, Papa, Papa, where's the chimney in our house? This is a few days before Christmas. Where's the chimney in our house? And I asked him, no, we don't have a chimney in our house. I asked him, why? No, that's where Santa's going to come through and put the presents for me. So, as children, can't blame them, that it's all about receiving, what I'm going to get for Christmas and stuff. And we as adults, we also turn out to be people who are more conscious about what I'm going to get with God. Say, for example, right? You always go to God. Lord, I have a prayer list. I want this. But what about giving to God? A time of praise is actually giving to God. So we got to learn to give God. That's our praise. It's about giving God. Because we got to stop this behavior of, oh Lord, give blessings and all that. I know it's part and parcel of the journey, but it's not everything. Let us not be selfish Christians who are just out there to give me. God is not a genie in a bottle where, yeah, grant me this, grant me that. Nah. It's a two-way thing with God. God loves you, you love God. God gives. But let's not take advantage of, give me, Lord, give me more. No, God wants your praise. Learn how to give God the praise He's worthy. Learn how to give God the praise that He deserves, because He is almighty and we are nothing. We need to understand that. Because if you can give so much, people can give honor to the presidents and the prime minister, but they are here today, gone tomorrow, but not God. Not God. God is eternal. So it depends who you put your faith in. And talking about this time of praise and worship as a corporate, in a church community, like the praise and worship team also, I suppose, they have a role to play in the sense that you are here to encourage the congregation to lift their voices to praise God. That's also part of the responsibility of the praise and worship team. And something that I learned is, when I was a baby Christian, I don't mean baby Christian, but a young Christian, a new Christian, I used to get bothered with the fact that the praise and worship team did well this week, they didn't do well the next week and stuff like that. And I was one of those guys that was affected by it. Yeah, I don't know about you, but I was a long time back. And it's like, man, I didn't really connect, and because the worship was, yeah, not so good, or some weeks it's good. And I had a chat with another brother, you know, and these are words I still remember till today. I mean, it's a pearl that he gave me. It's about, Richie, no matter what happens here, meaning the praise and worship for that Sunday, how they perform, or were they good, or were they bad, or whatever, no matter what happens here, your duty, Richie, is to give praise to God. Let not this distract you, the quality of the sound or whatnot and all that. Let that not distract you from praising God. Because it's you and God. It's a special time between you and God. Let not this be a distraction. And that's something that I have remembered throughout the years, and I make an effort, a conscious effort basically, to spend time with God on a one-on-one, immaterial of the quality, let's put it that way, the quality here by the praise and worship team. So that's something important, church. It's for you to give your best to God. God expects the best from each one of us. It's about giving to God, not just being takers as we, our natural tendency, church. Okay, talking about praise. Do you know that praising God, also transforms the spiritual atmosphere? It can invite the presence of God in the room. If you could turn with me, church, to the book of 2 Chronicles 5. To the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 5. And we'll pick it up from verse 13. This was during the time of King Solomon. Okay, 2 Chronicles 5 and verse, we'll pick it up from verse 13. It says this: the trumpeters and singers joined in unison as with one voice to give praise and thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, they raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, "He is good, His love endures forever." Check this out. Then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. So, church, this is an example where there was a transformation that happened in the spiritual atmosphere. A cloud appeared, symbolizing the glory of God in their midst. So praise can truly transform the spiritual atmosphere, where you can invite a strong presence of God in your midst. That's praise. It's powerful, church. Next, praise paves the way for God's power to be displayed. Miracles happen. Praise. Church, if you could turn with me to the book of Acts 16. Acts chapter 16. In the book of Acts 16, starting from 25. At about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake, that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. Church, isn't that a miracle? That these guys were in prison. Would you be singing praises when you're in prison? You committed a crime yesterday and you're in prison today. What would most of us be doing? I would think, I would guess, not singing praises to God, you'd be more concerned. Lord, what am I doing here? Yeah, but Paul and Silas, they had the totally right attitude. In your times of difficulty, what do? Praise God. It's easy to praise God when life is going well. It's easy. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, God is good and all that. It's easy when your life's going so smooth. But all of us know that life's not like that. It's a cycle. You got your good times and your bad times. There are seasons. So, do you think God's heart is moved when you sing praises to Him when life's going good? Nah, His heart is moved when you are going through a hard time and you actually sing praises to God, because that is tough. That is not easy, church. And that's what God requires of us. Praise Him all the time. Praise Him all the time. I know it's easier said than done, but that's what we are called to do. Not just the good times. So Paul and Silas, they were in jail. But that's what they did. Praise God, and God turned up. Earthquake and stuff. And another example of a guy praising in tough times is Job. The man lost all his possessions, his kids, but he still praised God. I mean, you gotta take your hats off to Job. I mean, I ask you today, if that happened to you, if you lost all your kids, if you lost all your money, your possessions, I mean, challenge you, in fact, or even myself. Can you praise God in those circumstances? We read about it, oh, Job did this and all that, but put yourself in today's modern society. If that happened to you, most of us would probably be doing what Job's wife said, curse God and die. Yeah. So church, yeah, it's true, the tough times, that God also requires praise from us. Not just the good times. Not just the good times. And I would like to share bit about my personal experience. I mean, I was originally from Malaysia, and this was about 2006 in this church where I became a born-again Christian and I was baptized. So we'll have our regular services at the weekend, but on Tuesday nights there were this revival nights. Revival nights. So this is basically what went on these revival nights. It'll start with praise. And it's not your usual church service. Church services, I don't know, might be 20, 30 minutes, if I'm not mistaken. A regular church service. But for this revival nights, it would be 30 minutes to an hour of time of praise and worship. Initially, I couldn't get it, but later I understood. Okay? And then you would see God turn up. When I say God turn up, meaning you would see healing. People with limp, people who can't walk properly, walking properly. People with demons being cleansed. Basically, deliverance. Words of prophecy, words of knowledge. Because when I first went for a revival night there. I mean, the pastor called me up and, do I know you? No. First time we're meeting, and he tells me things about me that no other human being would know. So that was a word of knowledge. I didn't know at that time, but later I understood that's the word of knowledge. So church, at these revival sessions, revival nights, there was time and effort given into the time of praise and worship. The people were hungry to see God turn up. And there's a strong presence of God if the people are hungry for God to show up. And God turned up, and his power was displayed for all to see. Because, and this was a session where Christians would invite their Buddhist friends and Hindu friends and other friends to come along. And they were shocked with what God can do. And that was an eye-opener for me, because we always think, oh, God is God and whatnot. But he is real, church. He is very real. Very real. And if you want him to turn up, praise, praise is really important. And it's to do with the heart, whether the heart's in it, whether you want God. Because the thing is, sometimes when we live in a Western society, life's comfortable, and our dependency on God is not like in a lot of Asian countries out there, where an example I would give is like, if you lose your job, you don't eat. Simple as that. There's no benefits. Whereas here, oh, I'll put my faith in the government because the government will look after me if I lose my job and whatnot. So it's a different mindset where people are really hungry for God, because if God doesn't show up, they could go. They could go. I mean, circumstances are different, church. Circumstances are different. And I met a friend of mine from Auckland last year, I think, and he shared this story with me. There was this woman. She had a sickness, I can't remember. Doctors couldn't do anything for her, and she used to go for different prayer meetings or healing meetings and whatnot. She used to go for all of them, hoping that the man of God or woman of God would pray and she would be healed. But you know what happened? When she herself decided to praise God instead of depending on human beings to work the miracle in her, she went and praised God. And that's when she got a healing, church. That's when she got a healing. Because she was praising the Lord, and it was between her and God and not through. Because she was probably thinking that a man or woman of God would bring my healing, but not going straight to God. So church, just want to conclude that if you don't know God, get to know him. Get to know him. He's real. And you've got to have that love relationship with God. Not a one-way thing where God loves you, but you've got to have that love for God with all your heart and soul and mind. And one point, always praise the Lord. Always remember, praise the Lord, not just here on a Sunday, every day. Praise the Lord, and you will truly see your life transformed. So at the end of the day, we give all glory, honor, and praise to God. Amen.